This is Test Case Scenario with me, your host, Jason Baum. This podcast is the definitive hub for knowledge and stories in the software testing and development communities. If you're new to the channel, hit the subscribe button and let's dive straight into the episode. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Test Case Scenario. I'm your host, Jason Baum, and with me today, my one and only panelist, Marcus Merrill.
Hello.
Luckily, one of the better ones. And I don't just say that about all of them. I love my children equally. Is that BS, Marcus? No, just kidding. I love asking parents who have more than one kid, is that BS? Welcome back.
Yeah, it's good to be here. Funny, I actually have a rather nuanced and complicated answer to that question, which I will never repeat.
Well, this is neither the time nor the place. Maybe on our after show special, we're thinking about starting a Patreon account. Proceeds would go towards open source, and we'll do some extra footage for you where Marcus will tell you who his favorite children are. Our only subscribers will be Marcus's children. But other than that, all right, let's get into this show. So today we're going to be talking microservices and breaking up the monolith.
All right.
This is a topic I know, Marcus, you have spoken about before in the past.
Yeah, you know, it's funny that there's probably a lot of people who are listening who have already been through this transition and they're now trying to figure out, well, now that I've built out the microservices, am I really like in heaven now? Is everything that we were promised it would be? But before we get to that, there are probably a lot of people who are still stuck in monolith hell. Now, what it means is that long time ago, when we were writing software in the 2000s, 2010s, we would pretend that we weren't doing this as recently as 2022, 23. People would just sort of stick all their code together and it would all be in one kind of mishmash. The backend server code all lives in the same, well, it can all live in the same repo and still be a microservice, but it can all live in the same execution thread, if you will. So the database queries are being handled by the same processes that are handling the user interactions, which are being handled by the same processes that are sending data across different pipelines and stuff like that. And if one piece of the monolith breaks, you have to worry that you're going to break something else within the monolith by fixing this one thing. And everything is interdependent, interconnected, and you can pretty much only release it as one giant blob as opposed to many, many tiny little blobs. So the process of extricating all those things out into microservices, each of which is supposedly its own little piece of functionality that's owned by like one smaller group of people as opposed to owned by hundreds of developers at once. That's the idea behind moving towards microservices. It's mostly a good idea.
Okay. All right. I've heard a lot of metaphors that you use here on this show. The blob one, not your strongest, but I do I do get it.
In the past, we actually had a name for the design pattern, which is called giant ball of lava, which is okay. A metaphor that means that essentially there's a piece of lava that you write, you know, you wrote it in 1996, and then it hardened and solidified because the people who wrote it are not here anymore. 2003, you add more lava onto it because you can't stop shipping, right? You've always got to be adding features. And then those people leave and it hardens into more lava. And it just gets hardened and hardened. And it's this giant ball at the end where nobody really knows how the inner part works. And nobody ever wants to touch the stuff that was written in 1996. But everyone's terrified to touch anything in there because any of it could break any part of the rest. Is that better?
I like that one a lot better. That was a much, much better, much better metaphor. And funny enough, it also looks cool in a lamp.
It's just candle wax, you know.
Oh, that's just candle? No, come on. All right. You can't tell me that. All right. Just ruined my childhood. Okay.
I'm here for
Yeah, that's Marcus's day job. Just ruining your childhood, folks. We've got a fun episode because now that we've set it up, we're going to have a little bit of fun now. We're going to play a very special game, Marcus. Marcus doesn't know about this, folks. He has no idea what I'm about to say.
No idea what's about to happen.
Here we go. But he's always game. I love that. All right. We're going to play the microservices quiz show.
All right. We need one of those air horns.
Yeah. Like the... Da, da, da.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to buy one. Okay. So I'm going to set up a series of true and false questions for the first few rounds, and we'll see how Marcus kind of answers these.
Can I elaborate on the answer or just true or false?
This one's going to be a quick fire. This first one, round one, great, is a quick fire. Ready? True or false? Microservices can be deployed independently of each other.
True.
True. I kind of want to hear the answer as to why, but I'm pretty sure you were kind of already said that, right?
I don't know if I said it explicitly about deployment, but yeah, I think implicitly, if you're breaking something up into multiple independent things, then you can handle them and iterate them. Yeah, independent.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. Yeah. Okay. Round two, mystery microservice. I am a containerization platform that makes it easier to create, deploy, and run applications by using containers. What am I?
I'm going to say you're Docker.
Yeah, of course. Was that too easy?
Well, you might be Sauce Orchestrate, but most people don't know about that one yet. We're going to get to it.
Oh, it might be Sauce Orchestrate. I could have been setting you up there for it, but what is Sauce Orchestrate, Marcus?
That's Sauce Lab's ability to containerize specifically purpose-built test infrastructure, including other things like you can actually deploy mock and real microservices within our infrastructure so that everything works a lot faster and you don't have to go back and forth all the time between your test site and our test infrastructure. And it also is built on our platform, which understands what testing is, whereas GitLab and GitHub Actions and CircleCI, they don't natively understand testing. They're not purpose-built for it. And we are. So we can help understand the signals coming out of your stuff going on. So
see the full picture.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. Okay. Round three, true or false tumult. Microservices architecture eliminates the need for communication between different services in an application.
False. That's ridiculous.
Why is that ridiculous, Marcus?
Well, I mean, at least the way I interpret the question is that the communication that happens is across API contracts, not within the same package of code. So things are still communicating. The data is still being moved. That suddenly doesn't get eliminated. And I assume that was about code, not teams communicating, right?
No. That was about code. Yeah, well, like I said, we're doing it a little differently. I kind of like this like lightning round type game. Okay, round four, we're just moving along. Scenario snap. Your application's user service and email service are both trying to access the same database simultaneously, leading to conflicts. How would you address this issue in a microservices architecture?
Well, to me, that sounds like three different microservices. One is for the database, and the other two are independent of that. And you handle it by implementing a queuing system within the database microservice that will queue up any requests that processes them, you know, one at a time or three at a time or however many parallel threads you have to process at once. So that deadlock is essentially impossible. By using the API as a gateway and a controlling layer that controls all the traffic, you can completely manage and manipulate how your database is processing that stuff. And the other teams, all they know is here is how to send a message to the database. How the database processes those messages is up to that team that's maintaining that microservice. But I don't ever have to care or know how it's happening. All I know is that if the database team is doing their job right, they're going to guarantee that those messages cannot be in conflict with each other because they're managing all the inputs themselves. I feel like there's an analogy to be had about how food moves out of a kitchen.
Let's workshop that.
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of like an assembly line. Like you have the indoor and the outdoor in the kitchen, right? So one swings one way, one swings the other way, and you're going to move food through the outdoor from the kitchen so that no one's trying to come in the indoor at the same time, that kind of thing. I guess that's as far as I can think of it in the moment.
So is it like, here's a scenario, like one common solution is to implement a database per service pattern where each microservice has its own database. So that way the user service and email service wouldn't compete for the same database resource, reducing conflict.
So it depends on whether or not the databases are storing same or similar information. So if they're storing the same information that always needs to be constantly updated and synchronized to work properly, it feels like you couldn't have each team with its own database managing that stuff independently. You'd have to have something that's kind of centralized. But the way you guarantee that it works is through an API that's well managed with rate limiting and queuing and all that kind of good hygiene. There's probably a case to be made for what you're describing, but it would probably be the microservice maintaining its own local database layer, which is then occasionally synchronized with the central one separately from processes or something like that.
All right, let's do a bonus round. In a microservices architecture, what design pattern is used to structure a network of microservices to manage service-to-service communications, service discovery, and failure handling?
You know, I have no idea. That sounds like some design pattern that was come up with by an academic who's probably brilliant, and I haven't read their work.
I was trying to describe service mesh.
Oh, yeah. No, I didn't have that one off the top of my head. Probably okay. Someone out there is screaming at their iPhone right now going, what the hell's wrong with you?
If you're screaming at Marcus right now, write to us at community-hub@saucelabs.com or send
us a
message.
We'll have you on next.
Yeah, and we'll have you on. We'll interview about microservices. No, just kidding. Cool. Well, that was fun. Any last thoughts on microservices or switching from the monolith?
Yeah, I mean, what's interesting is that I know that at one point, Twitter, formerly x.com, I said that wrong, but I love it. They had something like 1,500 competing interconnecting microservices, and this was like 8 years ago,
wow.
1,500 of them. And a lot of people are complaining about microservice transitioning to what's called nanoservice, which is like tiny, tiny, tiny little ones, which are deployed. So every company has like, instead of one giant monolith, they have 2,000 services or 4,000 services they're trying to deploy. And have we really solved the problem, or have we just introduced a new kind of problem?
Yeah,
and,
right.
And so I think that's the issue, is that my most prolonged interaction with a microservices conversion was after we converted one monolith to about 15 microservices after a 2-year period, we had to implement a security change across all of them. And it was like, God, this would have been so much easier as a monolith. So there are cons, there are drawbacks, and there are things you have to consider when you're making the conversion about what might break in the future. What do we need to do now that'll help us make sure this works? So it's not perfect. It's not a panacea. Be careful. Keep risk in mind.
Like everything, right? Everything has pros and cons. I feel like there's no one way or the highway type of change that you would make.
Yep.
Cool. All right. Well, this was an extra quick, lightning fast version of test case scenario. Let us know what you thought about this episode. We wanted to play a quick game with Marcus, and hopefully you learned a little bit of something about microservices through this process. So we hope you had as much fun as we did. Probably not. We always have so much fun on this show. Be sure to catch us next time. And thank you. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your attention. Thanks for joining us week after week. We really enjoy it. We know that your time is the most important thing, heck, that we all have. And Marcus, thank you for joining me and being here. We'll see you again next time on Test Case Scenario. Thank you for joining us on Test Case Scenario. Share your thoughts in the comments. We'll make sure to respond to each and every single one. Don't forget to subscribe and hit that notification bell to keep in touch. If you missed our last episode, it's popping up on your screen right now. Go, click it. Until next time on Test Case Scenario.